Radio City Talk Breakfast. The kickoff with Steve Hothersall.
Radio City Talk.
Let's have a look back at the weekend's football action and also tennis with a proud Scot, Jonathan Northcroft from the Sunday Times. Morning, Jonathan.
Hi, Steve. Yeah, world number one, aren't we?
It doesn't get a prouder day for your nation than this, does it?
No, but we have to grab what comes we can of Scots in the sporting world. Marvellous stuff from anybody.
Do you think, we were speaking with Barry Cowan before and we discussed the possibility of him being knighted. I'm sure it will happen. Barry said flatly this cannot happen while he is still in his career stage. While he's still a sportsman playing, this should only happen once he's finished. What's your thoughts on that?
I agree with that, actually. I mean, I think Sir Chris Hoy and Sir Bradley Wiggins both went through that, but... yeah, I think it's inevitable, but a knighthood should be for when you look back on a career and reward it in the round. And you know, anything that just takes a tiny bit of motivation away, I would hate to see, because what's exciting about Andy Murray is, you know, he's now at his best and at a time when others are fading. So I want to see him go on and do this for another 3 or 4 years. So keep him keen for that knighthood and then give it afterwards.
Absolutely. And the papers seem to have forgotten his brother, of all things. It's almost like only one Murray's done the job here.
Well, if you think about, you know, 10, 15 years ago, for one British tennis player to be on top, even if it was in the doubles, we'd all be celebrating that. Things have changed, haven't they? It's Andy Murray's excellence that means that Jamie gets forgotten about it a bit. But in the 80s, you know, he'd have been a knight just for winning some doubles matches.
Let's have a look back at the football and the impact of the international break. One of the big highlights of the international break, and you both wrote about it yesterday, was Wayne Rooney, who said attacks over his drinks at 5 a.m. at a wedding were a disgrace by the press. I'm just interested to know, do you as a... You know, you've worked within the industry for so long. Are the press going too far now with how much they're reporting about players? We see more headlines about Adam Lallana and Jordan Henderson again this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, it depends how you see it. I must admit, I'm on the divide that thinks that players should be allowed private lives. You know, it doesn't matter how famous you are, how much you earn, you're allowed to have a private life and we should respect those boundaries. Not everyone agrees, and I'd have to say that it's a divide in the public as well, because, you know, after all, Wayne Rooney was photographed in a newspaper because somebody took a picture on their camera phone and sold it to that newspaper. And equally, Adam Lallana and Jordan Henderson are in the newspaper because a couple of people have snitched on them. So, you know, it's the public as well that are, I guess, eroding players' privacy. Personally, you know, I think if they're not on duty, they're not playing, they can do what they like within reason.
Yeah, Adam and Jordan, they've got every right, haven't they, to go out to a club without being bothered and it being put on the back of a newspaper. I mean, you've got Jordan Henderson, who's a teetotaler. He's just drinking water.
Yeah, I know. I totally agree. You look at those two lads, you know, they're absolutely in their prime as athletes. They couldn't try any harder on the pitch. They obviously couldn't try any harder on the training ground. If you look at the condition they're in and the improvements they're both making to their game while they're in their 20s, there's no question about their professionalism. So is it a big deal where they are when they're sipping their mineral water? I don't think it is.
It seems sometimes as well, if you take Rooney as an example, it seems sometimes that some reporters, some papers, almost try and finish a player off before his time is done.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they call it the sort of pack mentality that, you know, it's the same with managers that are about to get sacked. You know, there's a certain type of reporting where they sniff blood and they go for people. I feel sorry for Wayne just because amid all of this, the great career he's had is being forgotten. And, you know, even writing about it, you're sort of putting the words down on the page, you know, record England goal scorer, record outfield caps, 700 games. And you are sort of thinking, even as you're writing this, why is this guy even... you know, being treated like this, because he has done so much. And there are genuine questions to be asked about his football now from a point of view of, you know, his pace going. Is he what he was? I'm happy to have that debate all day long. But I think what it's a straw in a teacup, him having a few drinks at a hotel.
Right, onto the Premier League and how it looks at the moment. Chelsea, number one, unbeaten in 7-6 wins defensively with three at the back and David Luiz at the heart of it. Absolutely impregnable. And Victor Moses involved in the side as a man of the match sort of performer. He sort of reshaped this Chelsea side as Conte.
It's amazing. It's a great piece of coaching, I think, because Chelsea at the start of the season looked a little bit like they were last season, i.e. not quite a top four or five team. You wondered where it was going for them. And you know what? He's just looked at it and he's come up with some great solutions. Because what I like about their formation, I think this is true of any formation. I don't think the actual formation matters. I think it's what it does for the players involved. And it suits those players. It frees up Eden Hazard. It gives David Luiz the opportunity to play without having all that defensive responsibility, which, you know, you wouldn't really want to trust him with. and he's found Victor Moses as this fantastic, you know, flying wing-back. And I was speaking to Graham Lasseau about this last week, where, you know, Lasseau was saying what amazes him is that, yes, we, you know, Moses' energy and his ability going forward, we've seen that before in his career. But for a guy that's never really been asked to defend, and Graham was explaining that as a wing-back, your positioning is very, very important because you are that only man on the flank and you've got to strike the right positions, which usually requires some defensive knowledge. But Moses seems to be doing it naturally, and it's been really impressive. Chelsea have been superb since they changed formation, and for me, you know, they're right up there as title challengers, right up there.
So Conte's one of the new breed who's getting it right, but let's not forget he had his dip earlier in the season when people were putting the question mark next to him. Klopp's not had his dip as yet, but Ronald Koeman seems to be in one, which has got a few fans frustrated at Everton. In terms of what he inherited and his quality, where do you think Ronald is up to with Everton Football Club?
Well, I think you've just, you know, alluded to it, Steve. It's what he inherited. This was a team that struggled last season, that really, you know, I think under Roberto Martinez, didn't make much progress in terms of the playing personnel. I think, you know, Martinez inherited a very good squad from David Moyes. He did well initially. I don't think he really improved it with his signings. You think of the Kone's and Funes Mori's and so on. And I think, you know, Ronald inherited a squad that needs refreshed, and I think his signings have been good, you know, particularly Bolasie and Ghana. And I think there's a lot more to come from Koeman in terms of reshaping that team. You see how well he did at Southampton. So what we're looking at the moment is a work in progress from Everton. And I think the positive for them from the weekend was the second half reaction. The first half was worrying against the worst team in the league, but at least they did react to their manager, who I think, you know, gave them a little bit of a hairdryer at half time, and it was better. But I would expect a bit of an up and down season to continue for Everton just because of where they are. There's all the players that need to go, and they need, you know, a few new players in certain positions.
Because football fans want it here and now, that right away, don't they? As soon as Ronald was brought in and their first few games had passed, it was almost like, wow, we've hit the new dawn. But actually, I think there's a much longer road ahead, isn't there, to find the perfect solution for Everton.
I agree. Let's not forget what happened to Jurgen Klopp in his first 5 or 6 months. We saw Liverpool go very much up and down. There were some really encouraging days, and there were some days when, you know, you wondered if he was going to be able to do much with the squad, and he reshaped it. So I think it's the same with Everton. Koeman raises expectations just because of who he is, his record, and he himself is quite obviously a man that's determined to win, and he's a manager you can believe in. So I think that's why the fans maybe, you know, got a little bit excited at the start of the season. But he will have, and I believe he will get money to spend as well. And I'd expect, you know, next season to see a much, much better team.
Have you had a sit down with Ronald Koeman yet?
I have. Not at Everton. I had a sit down with him and his brother Irvin at Southampton last year, actually. And the two brothers together are very interesting. Ronald's a real winner. He's quite a hard man. You could imagine the dressing room and what it might be like if you didn't perform for him. And Irwin's the kind of, you know, he's a sort of more cheerful and softer character, the older brother. But, you know, found to football knowledge, he himself was an excellent player, played 30 times for Holland and played in that Euro 1988 team. So he was a great player too. And, you know, Ronald bounces his ideas off his brother. And really interesting guy to talk to. What struck me was all these Dutch coaches can be quite, you know, pretentious about their football philosophy and all that kind of stuff. And Koeman's not. You know, he laughed when I asked about, you know, where do you stand? Are you like Van Gaal? Are you like Cruyff? And he laughed. He said, you know, the Dutch talk too much about this. You know, it's just about winning the games. So it's quite nice.
He was easy to converse with. Liverpool themselves, they got a draw at Southampton at the weekend. I don't think on paper it's a particularly that bad a result, but of course they missed Adam Lallana, a victory of the international break. And it's a real shame to see him not playing. Philip Coutinho did play after his number of miles he put in, and Firmino as well. But I think Lallana is a miss for that side.
He is. He's just become so important, you know, I guess for club and country. And he... You know, the sort of injury has come right at the point where he's been, you know, at his very best. So he does that really valuable role in, you know, transitioning from midfield to attack. Some of the ways he links it there, his runs forward to get into scoring or creative positions are very difficult for oppositions to handle. And I think Liverpool missed that. But overall, you know, I think it's a reasonable point. And I think we'll see a Premier League where at the top, you know, the teams aren't going to win every single week. There's going to be ups and downs. Manchester City only just got away with it. And it was tough for Chelsea. Spurs only just got away with it. So I think we'll see that over the season. And at the end of the year, a point at Southampton might actually look like quite a good result.
And you were at Old Trafford. And every time I see Jose Mourinho, I see a man who looks more weathered. You know, and this happens to managers when they're feeling a bit more of the pressure.
I think it happens to blokes who don't leave the hotel room as well. You know? I think he needs to get some fresh air. But it's true, it certainly does age them. I remember, you know, David Moyes seeming to age about 5 years in that 6 months in the Man United job. And then, you know, a few weeks after leaving it, and I called in the Bahamas, he was absolutely fine. So it's a pressured existence, and it is a pressured existence for Mourinho, because Manchester United have got a long way to go, and he's the man that's expected to be the answer to all the problems. And at the moment, it's proving quite tough for him. He put a positive spin on the result, and I think they actually played well. But in the end, it's a worst start for 12 years. And it's not as if, you know, under Van Gaal it was particularly good. So, yeah, they're still very much in transition. And it'll be interesting to see where it goes from here.
Jonathan, always appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Steve. Pleasure.
Jonathan Northcroft from the Sunday Times with a look back on the weekend's Premier League action.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.